Kids can be dismissed if they are not here already. I want to read to you from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. Now we sang about it, the shepherds, the story of the shepherds and their encounter with the angels. And the first message of Christmas was shared to them. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 onwards. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their inner heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word, Lord, speak to us. We pray that, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see what you want us to see, hearts to believe, Father, and ears to listen, dear Lord. Thank you for your great love with which you have loved us, O Father. And bless this time we're going to spend it in your presence, O Father. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Christmas. Christmas is in the air, right? Whether you celebrate it or not, how you celebrate it, one thing you cannot do is you cannot ignore it. I grew up in India, and one of the traditions in India during Christmas time, the churches, different churches, we just go caroling. And that was big back then. I don't know how it is today. But when I was growing up, even as a teenager, we had a church band, and the entire band will be on a SUV with all batteries and speakers, and we'll be singing and caroling and playing music till probably 3, 4 in the morning. Every house will invite us in, give us snacks, and sometimes dinner. So this goes on not for one day, the whole month. So right around from the 1st of December to all the way till the 24th, this is Christmas. Sometimes I miss that experience as well. Everybody does Christmas differently. Every culture does this differently. I was kind of reading up on this. There's an article in Time magazine, and different cultures do Christmas differently. Some are crazy ones. There's no time to go into that, but if you can, you know, go and read how people do Christmas, you'll be surprised. One thing that caught my eye is the recent thing that here in the U.S., I think it started in San Francisco, they call it SantaCon. It's getting popular. People dress up as Santa, get drunk, and then dance on the streets, run around the streets. New York City had it big last week, I think, so it was on the news. It's fun. That's how society looks at Christmas. Make everything merry. Doesn't matter what you do. Whatever it is that you do during Christmas, if it brings merrymaking into the picture, you're doing good. We have all kinds of traditions. The trees, the presents, the mistletoes, the twinkling lights, Santa, snowmen, cookies, family cheer, holiday movies, shopping, deals, gifts, songs, snow. The list goes on. We have parties, we have meetings, family visits, gatherings, church events. It's a busy time. But what caught my eye was the Hallmark movies. I don't know how many of you watch Hallmark movies during Christmas time. I don't know how they come up with stories like that. It beats me. every year, like round the clock, probably from Thanksgiving or even before Thanksgiving, you know, they start and they don't stop. It's always the same plot. Boy meets girl or girl meets boy, right? There's an instant connection or there is a tension, either way, right? The next 1 hour of the movie, they get to know each other. And either the girl saves the day or the guy does some wonderful things, thoughtful things, and they end up in love, or they love, you know, they're successful in their love. How is it possible to find new material every year? Basically, this is what it is. So endless varieties. A couple days back, one movie caught my eye. I saw an Indian family for the first time in a Hallmark movie. And the Patels were decorating their puja room with holiday lights. And that was, wow. You know, puja is the Hindu idols in a home. They have a separate room where they keep the idols. And they were decorating for Christmas, the puja room. And Hallmark is trying to be inclusive, I guess. everything is fine as long as it's entertainment, you know. Make everything merry. But what is interesting is there is no thought about the baby. The baby is forgotten, has been forgotten. The child is quietly missing from his own birthday celebration. Imagine if it's your birthday and you woke up excited. It's your birthday, it's your big day. You want to make it special. And sure enough, there is a knock on the door and you go and open the door and one by one your friends show up. Surprise, it's your birthday, we're here to celebrate. And they come, they sit, they make themselves comfortable, and they start sharing gifts to each other, and they ignore you. And they have a good time at your expense. That's how the world treats Christmas. They have a good time. There is no thought about the baby. We replace joy to the world with the jingle bells, have a holly jolly Christmas, it's all fine. But the true story of Christmas is humbling and very unattractive, at least it was. It happened when the whole world slept. Very few individuals got to witness it. Only a few believed in it as it unfolded in their own neighborhood. Don't get me wrong, Christmas is a joyful occasion, but there is also a tinge of sadness there that shadows it. The good news, you know, we read the passage, the angels appeared to shepherds and said, glad tidings of great joy, which is good news, probably the best news that man has ever heard. But this good news is good news because of the bad news in the world. If there is no bad news, it is just news. This world is lost. We have fallen short of God's glory. The darkness is so pervasive, so black, that the very God of lights had to come to shine his marvelous light among us. This world has gone terribly wrong, broken by sin, people self-centered, rebelling against God. It's also a story about dethroning the Creator, at least in their own hearts, their own minds. It was a condition so desperate that God did the unthinkable, sending his own son as a sacrificial lamb to redeem his people. This is where the conflict is. People have tried to remake Christmas into a charming children's tale that inspires us to be kinder, more loving, more giving, more merrymaking, more peaceful. John Lennon, in his famous song, says, "War is over if you want it. War is over if you want it." Christmas actually says the opposite. It says you cannot end the war. You don't have it in you to do the right thing. It confronts us with the brutal fact that we can never be kind. We can never be peaceful and loving. Evil is not just out there, it is in us. It is very much inside of us. No one has to teach a baby to steal, lie, or fight. It's become a nature. It grows in us. We cannot come out of the hole that we have dug ourselves in. And that's why New Year resolution doesn't last a week. Oscar Wilde, one of the brilliant minds, along with Aldous Huxley and G.K. Chesterton, he said this: "All I ever want to do is either illegal, immoral, or outright wicked. That's where my heart goes after. All I ever want to do is either illegal or immoral or outright wicked. That is the condition of human heart." So until we hear and understand the bad news, the good news won't be attractive to us. Because when Jesus came, when people heard the glorious message of the news, the birth of the Savior, not everybody was awestruck. Not everybody went and fell at his feet and worshiped him. Some may have wondered, may have considered, but very few people believed and went to worship him. Because the world doesn't want to be challenged, much less convicted of this truth. So what we do is we try to humanize the event, dilute the message of Christmas, pick the ones that appeals to us, and ignore the ones that challenges us. The wonder of Christmas can only be found if one is willing to confront the truth of the gospel. The wonder of Christmas can only be found if one is willing to confront the truth of the gospel, because the truth will challenge you. It will humble you. It will expose your heart, the wickedness in your heart. It will drive you to your knees to repent and worship. And that's why people just want to settle for the fluff. The lights, the cheer, the music feels good. Let's get on with our lives. Ponder the wonder. But there is so much about Christmas. Ani read this passage from Isaiah. His name is Wonderful. Wonderful is his name. How can you not wonder the wonderful? So ponder the wonder, because his name is wonderful. And this is where I get this sermon's title from. Mary's response: there's so much going on, so many people saying amazing things. She doesn't know how to process. She kept it in her heart and pondered it. It is not just for the moment. That is fleeting. But to reflect and ponder, because the message is weighty. You just cannot dismiss it just like that. Ponder the wonder because his name is wonderful. The wonder of incarnation. God became a man. So when we celebrate Christmas, you know, there is a tradition that we cut a birthday cake for Jesus. I don't know, you know, you do it. But I've seen people do it. I've heard people say they do it in their homes. After all the dinner, they cut a cake. Happy birthday, Jesus. Celebrate a birthday cake for Jesus. It's wonderful. But we don't celebrate Christmas like we celebrate another birthday. We celebrate the fact that God became a man. Birth in itself is a miracle, but the bigger miracle is God becoming a man. Can you even think about this? Think about this phrase, your God is born today. How do you even process this information? God is born. The one who has no beginning and end is the Almighty God. The one who spoke the universe and galaxies into being, the Word, he came into the powerless body of a baby. I was just kind of thinking, how was the scene in heaven like when Jesus kind of got up from his throne, disrobed his glorious majesty and all that, and he announced, I'm going to go into this world and be born as a baby. How did the angels respond? We see them singing, but when they first heard the news, what was their reaction? Were they shocked? Were they surprised? Were they sad? God, you are doing what? You want to go into this world for these guys? These wretched people, who's going to be thankless, who are ungrateful? We want them to be saved. But at what price? What's the cost? What was the scene like in heaven? Is there no other way? Spurgeon says this, infinite and an infant, eternal and yet born of a woman, almighty and yet hanging on a woman's breast, supporting a universe and yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms, king of angels and yet the reputed son of Joseph, heir of all things and yet the carpenter's despised his son. Oh, the wonder of Christmas. You see the contradiction there. How can this great God who has no beginning can choose to be born at this particular moment and choose to be born in the humblest of places you can think of? And Mary got to hold him, kiss him, feed him, change his diaper, I don't know. She saw his face. No man has ever seen God. The day you see him, you'll die. People trembled at the Mount of Sinai even to go near the mountain, which is called the mountain of God. That's how terrifying this idea was for the people all this while. And suddenly, Mary get to hold this great God. The wonder of incarnation. That God would humble himself so much to display his love for us. His plan of salvation. The shepherds got a personal invitation from God himself. Not the VIPs, not the religious who's who of the town, but the simple, ordinary people who lived on the outskirts. Just imagine you had a baby. You just had a baby. And you are expecting friends and family to show up to see the baby, to congratulate you. That's your expectation, but suddenly a group of weird men show up at your door. Scrawny, dressed in dirty rags, smell like goat funk. And they want to see your baby. Imagine that response. And yet they were the ones who got to see that baby and worshiped him. Another wonder of Jesus, sorry, of Christmas. Jesus is the friend of the poor, friend of sinners, friend of the unworthy, born in a stable, cradled in a manger. I don't think anybody here would have had a worse accommodation than that. You are not poorer than he was. The King of Kings, homeless at this point, vulnerable. So the passage found in Luke 2:15, let us go over to Bethlehem. That's what the shepherds said. They told each other after they heard the wonderful message from the angels. They say, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. That's the right response even today for us. As we hear the message of Christmas, the message of love, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing. It demands our attention, all of it, to reflect and ponder and wonder at the glorious display of God's love. God became human and inserted himself into our lives. He came and dwelt among us. He erased the distance between him and us, his holiness and our unrighteousness. He bridged this gap. Emmanuel, God with us. What a comforting thought, that this God is going to be with us in all our life's pilgrimage. He is with us under all circumstances, both good and the bad and the ugly, your joys and sorrows. He is with us. So let every festive tradition, whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you do to celebrate Christmas, let everything that you do remind you of his great love. The kind of love that the world has never seen. A fierce, jealous kind of love that lasts for eternity. I was thinking about this. Very few have been born as a king. Right? Very few are born as a king. They're born as a prince. And then when they grow up, do all the right things, in due time, a crown is placed on their head and they become a king. The coronation, the whole ceremony is there. But very few babies are born as a king. We just sang the song, Christ the King is born today. He was born a king. And yet, people despised him. He came to be a ruler over Israel. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. He came to be born as a ruler, to be a king. Is he a king of your life? Is he the ruler of your life? Have you submitted to the authority of Jesus? Has Christ come into your heart? Have you accepted his authority in your life? That his word has the final say in whatever it is that you do. The wonder of the gospel. Ponder the wonder of the gospel, because God loves you. It's number two. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, right? That's how John introduces Jesus. It's a great light, a marvelous light. But we needed this light because we are in darkness. And he came looking for us. What's interesting is this. We didn't go looking for him. We are the needy ones. We are the ones who need a savior, but we didn't go looking for him. He came looking for us. The wonder of the gospel, that he took the first step. We didn't even know our need, the real need of our lives. Once again, Spurgeon says, what shall a worm of the dust become a child of God? Look at what he does. A worm of the dust become a child of God. A rebel be adopted into the heavenly family. A condemned criminal, not only forgiven, but actually made a child of God. Wonder of wonders. The wonder of Christmas. The wonder of the gospel. The captives will be set free. Because the deliverer is here. One who's going to break the shackles. One who's going to break the power of sin and death in your life. The beauty of Christmas is this. On the one hand, manger scene displays the great love of God. But on the other hand, it also foreshadows the cross of Christ. Because we know he was born to die. Because at his birth, Mary was told by Simeon, a sword will pass through your soul. You cannot separate Christmas and Calvary. They are two sides of the same coin. You cannot have one without the other. Not everyone was excited. And not everyone is excited even today. It's the same response. Unless you see him as your savior, you cannot really celebrate Christmas. Now we sing a song, for unto us a child is born. But the real truth is, for unto me a child is born. He is my savior. And in him and through him is my salvation. Unless you come to that, or until you come to that and face to face with the truth, Christmas will not excite you as it should. There are so many movies. I like to watch movies, especially those military movies. You see those powerful moments, the prisoners of war, you know, behind bars, hungry, beaten, tortured, just skeletons, just bones hanging on, right? And they are clinging on to the bars, waiting for the deliverer. There is no hope. I cannot break free from the shackles. Sometimes I wonder, that is the nature of us. That's how we are, waiting for the deliverer, a savior. We don't have the power to break free from the shackles, whatever it is that is holding us down. The power of sin and death over our lives. And the deliverer, the great deliverer, showed up. God, he had us in his mind. Another example is in John 5, we see a man by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, a paralytic man who couldn't move. He was waiting by this pool. For 38 years, when the angel came and struck the water, whoever stepped in the water first got healed. And this man was next to the water, but he didn't have anybody to take him to the waters. And Jesus shows up. I wonder, that's the picture of us, each one of us. We just don't have the ability to move. Even when you know that we need a savior, unless he comes along, unless he lifts us up, and he delivers and does his miraculous work in our lives, We cannot do anything. And that's what he did here. Message of Christmas, the wonder of the gospel, that God loved us. He so loved us, for God not just loved us, he so loved us that he was willing to give up his own life, his own son for us. So this world is crazy for love. Everybody knows that. Everybody will agree to that fact. This world is crazy for love, looking for it. But you don't know what love is unless you've come face to face with the love of God. Because this love of God that was manifested through the baby in the manger. You don't know what peace is unless you have peace with God that was made possible because of the birth of Jesus. And you don't know what joy is unless you've experienced it in the presence of God, who is the source of all joy. And what we settle for, or what the world settles for, is the fake versions of it. It's the fake versions of it, not the real one. But something that distracts us as we are searching for the real one. Shepherds saw the angels. The wonder is not in the experience of seeing the supernatural event. I don't know how many of you have seen angels. I haven't seen one yet. But that's not the wonder. Of course, it was a marvelous experience to see angels show up at your door and share this wonderful news and to hear them sing. I want to hear them sing. Sing with the angels. One day we will. But the shepherds got to experience that, but that is not the wonder. The wonder is when they went to Bethlehem and saw the baby in the manger and worshipped him. That's the real wonder. The wonder is in the message of the gospel. The wonder is in the message of Christmas and what it really means, not in the supernatural experiences. And we can never truly celebrate Christmas until we can tell God that we have received his Christmas gift and thank him for his love. And lastly, ponder the wonder of hope. Ponder the wonder of hope. We have a Savior. We have a helper. We are not lost. We are not abandoned, we are not forsaken, we are not forgotten. There is a God who cares for us. God is in this world, and some poet said, I don't know who said this, said, God is in this world and all is well with the world. And then later on, the skeptic came along and said, God is in his world and all is not well with the world. He is very much concerned about each one of our lives, whatever it is that we are going through, the chaos, the ugliness of life, in our own lives and in the lives of people around us in the world. He is very much concerned. We have a Savior, and that's the message of Christmas. He does show up to intervene, to interject our lives. We are not abandoned. Now, if you read the Old Testament, people say there are close to 400 prophecies about Jesus, the coming Messiah. 400 prophecies, again and again and again, promise after promise after promise, and prophecies were given to the people to tell them to expect this one day God will come, the Messiah will be born, things will be new, will be different. And at Christmas, this promise was kept. God showed up. He showed up as a promise keeper. The Old Testament saints were waiting for the Messiah, the birth of the Messiah, the coming of the King of the Jews, waiting for the Deliverer. And at Christmas, God fulfilled that promise. He kept His word, He kept His promise, proving that He is faithful and He's worthy to be praised. Today we can look back at the story of Christmas that unfolded in Bethlehem and see how God worked, how He waited and waited and waited, and in due time, He chose to be born. He kept His word, He kept His promise. And we can see how people waited. They wrote about this, they sang songs about this, they waited, holding on to their faith. And they received the promise. They received the fulfillment of the promise. And just like the Old Testament saints, you and I are also called to wait. Wait for His second coming. The second coming of Jesus. He kept His word once. He's going to do it again. There is no reason to doubt. Right? We are asked to be waiting for His coming. You'll be free from this body of death, free from the power of sin. Nothing can hold you down anymore. The second coming of Jesus will be glorious. The earth will be filled with His justice and righteousness. Isaiah 2:4, I just want to read the verses from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. It says this: He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against a nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Can you imagine this world? People talk about gun control. There is no gun control. People will turn their spear into plowshares. They will not learn war anymore, because there will be no wars. There will be perfect peace. His righteousness, His truth, His justice will be the banner. The people will be filled with God's knowledge. He will be the ruler. He'll be the judge between the nations. Can you imagine living in this world? And we are asked to wait when He will bring this to pass. And just like the Old Testament saints waited, we are also called to wait. We are also people of Advent, people of hope. Advent doesn't stop with Christmas. It doesn't stop with Christmas. Because we are a people of Advent, looking back and looking forward, waiting for His second coming, just like the Old Testament saints were waiting for His first coming. And we wait with hope. And my hope for you and me is that this Christmas, our hearts will be filled with this wonder, will be recaptured with this wonder of this gospel, wonder of this incarnate God who chose to be born as a man, who came into this world to save you and me, to give us hope. And even as we hope, it's not going to be easy. Our lives are difficult, are challenging. We have issues. Our world is messy. Just have to read the news. You watch the news, it gets depressing. They say people who have depression, they don't want them to watch the news before going to bed. It scares you. It kind of depresses you. It makes you angry, upset. Watch some comedy or some, I don't know what you want to watch, but It is depressing, we know that. And our hope is in Jesus, is in Christ Jesus. And as I close, I want to pray, and the worship team is going to come. We're going to sing two songs. The first song is, O Come, Emmanuel. We look back, we celebrate, and we also anticipate His second coming. The second song, I want you to add it to your Christmas playlist. The second song, In Christ, My Hope is Found. Maybe you've never sang this song as a Christmas song, but this Christmas, we look forward to His coming, and our hope is found in Him. So keep these twin themes, the theme of anticipation, just like the Old Testament saints, but also this theme of celebration of what Christmas is and what it truly is, because the heavens couldn't keep quiet. The angels sang, you know, their message. And it's only right that we also sing. Join with the angels and sing. So let's pray. And after I pray, the worship team is going to sing two songs. And keep these two themes in mind, celebration and anticipation. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the wonder that is there in the message of Christmas, Lord, that you chose to be born as a man, that you came to this world to save me, because I need a Savior. Lord, we are desperate, we are helpless, broken, and you had me in your mind, and you had each one of us in your mind, Lord. Thank you for the hope that is there in your name. And Lord, even as you minister to us, O Father, you ask us to wait in hope. Lord, help us, Lord, to hold on to you, to cling on to you, to look at you, Lord, Father, to ponder over the message of Father, to appreciate your goodness, Lord, to live a grateful life, so that this wonder will drive us to worship, Father, to live a life of obedience and sacrifice and proclaim this good news to this broken world, O Father. Bless this day, bless this season, Lord, even as we celebrate Christmas, Lord, let it be meaningful, let it be one of joy and peace, that we will be messengers of peace as well, Lord, for this broken world. Thank you, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.